Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
And my name's James, aka SK James FPL.
Hey, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
I hear you
Great
were,
weekend of football.
I hear you were out gallivanting on Saturday, meeting a couple of podcast royalty members.
Yeah, I was. At first, I thought I was going to be one of the only people there, but I think a lot of us were there, but without realizing who else was also there for the meetup. Pub was so busy, but yeah, I was stood next to Jimmy Claret FPL,
Nice.
without realizing, and then yeah, we got talking.
Brilliant. Yeah, I did see the photo of is it Tom and James at the end there? Obviously Tom who got the assist, James playing FPL, and you're kind of sat there on the background looking like you're not going to try and throw up.
Did have quite a few, but I was okay in the end.
Good man. Right, like you said, there was a hectic schedule of football, and we're recording on the Monday because there are games again tomorrow. So let's get going, James. First things first, Arsenal 2, Newcastle nil.
Yep, a just what I wanted, really.
Yeah.
I think same for you.
Very nice.
Double clean sheet, Ramsdale and Ben White. Could have not been the case. Wilson was through a couple of times, and I really did fear for the worst. I thought he was going to score. One time he could have probably got a pen, but it wasn't given.
Agreed.
Which on another day I think that would have been given, and would have justified a lot of people who brought in Wilson. But yeah, Arsenal played very well. Tomiyasu had quite a good game.
He did.
I think
Got an
he
assist.
ended up with 12
He
points.
did, yeah. Free bonus.
Was impressed by him. Arteta seems to have found his kind of team now. Doesn't seem to be changing it too much. So interesting to see how that
Yeah, and
continues.
it was interesting that Tierney is obviously back fit, but he was on the bench and Tavares started again in his place. And obviously Tavares got the assist. It was both wing backs that got the assist this time around. So I'll be keen to keep an eye on that one because obviously I rate Tierney as it is a Scotsman. But yeah, it seems like Arteta's got a bit of a decision on his hands, and obviously perhaps with this winter schedule, there's going to be a bit of rotation between the two of them anyway. But yeah, I'm quite surprised as a player. I think two big moments of the game worth talking about before we move on was that Aubameyang miss and that
Oh God,
Ramsdale, and the Ramsdale save from Jonjo Shelvey.
I can't believe he missed that. I mean, those on Smith Rowe will be
God.
not happy because that would have been an assist for
It
him.
would have been, yeah.
Yeah, terrible miss. crazy. But then obviously, yeah, that Ramsdale putting out another absolute corker of a
God,
save.
he's got them in the bag, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. But he's keeping up at Ramsdale. He's
I think
what
he
Arsenal
is,
need.
yeah, I think he's the player that's proved me wrong the most this season so far. And whether we'll say that at the end of the season, but for now, Ramsdale's top of that list.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, let's move on then to two wins and two for Steven Gerrard. It was Crystal Palace 1, Aston Villa 2.
Yeah, looking very good so far, Steven Gerrard's team. It was our old boy, Matty Target, who opened the scoring.
Yeah, good finish as well.
He has that in his locker and might actually be a decent pick now based on Villa actually looking like a good team. Obviously, he's very cheap. But yeah, suddenly you're sort of thinking about Villa in a positive way after these two wins rather than kind of the Dean Smith days, you wouldn't really consider them. But
Yeah, it's strange that it's just that this change of management, a little bit of change in kind of, I guess, the mannerisms in which they go about the game. And suddenly, yeah, two wins on the bounce, and it's what Villa fans are crying out for, and it's what they needed. And I think man of the match was John McGinn, another Scot there, James. But yeah, I think his performance was exceptional by all counts, and obviously took his goal very well. And the guy was a match of the day. I'd nothing but praise for him. So I'm not saying go and get John McGinn by all means. At 5.8 million, I think he's quite pricey given his position, but he does pop up with the odd goal and the odd assist, and he's just a very good player.
He is. I mean, I got fooled into getting him last
You
season,
did,
so I'm
yeah.
not sure if I'd go for him.
Yeah,
But who knows? Maybe he can keep it up.
and obviously on Palace's side, it wasn't their best performance. think it's Gihi, or however you want to pronounce him. He obviously got himself another goal this season, consolation at the end. But I know there are a couple of people on him that I've seen on the Twitter sphere. So probably some unexpected returns there, obviously, after being 2-0 down. Other than that, I don't think there's a lot to talk about with Palace. Quick turnaround, and see, it's Leeds up next, so they'll be looking to get 3 points in that one.
Yes, they will. Shall we move on to the next one?
No, I don't want to.
Which I had the pleasure of being replayed in its entirety at the pub during the meetup.
Oh, man.
Like, just in the background, I was like, right, I'm just going to try and talk to everyone and pretend that's not on the screen.
Yeah, don't blame you. Yeah, the game we're obviously talking about was Liverpool 4, Southampton 0.
Yeah, not great. A terrible start, obviously, conceding pretty, like, 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
And it just sort of got worse from there. Obviously, did okay in the second half. But yeah, the first half performance kind of killed us, really.
Yeah, it's primarily down to a change in formation. We went three at the back. Obviously had Perreault and Livramento as wing backs, with Prowse and Romeo in the middle. And then we went three up top. We played Armstrong, Broha and Che Adams. And it really didn't work. Obviously, Liverpool absolutely dominated that first half. Jota bagging himself a couple of goals. Thiago with a brilliant strike, albeit deflected, but you know, I think it was going in anyway. And Hasenhüttl really had to change things at half time because it wasn't working. Obviously, took Che Adams off, took Bednarak off, brought in, I think it was Redmond and Teller, and then went, you know, back to a traditional four at the back and shored things up a little bit. Yeah, obviously Van Dijk unmarked in the box, kind of Romeo steps off of him and he takes his goal well, but it was a better performance from us in the second half. And Adam Armstrong had his chances, to be fair for owners, because I think he had an XG of like 1.5 or something, and probably should have scored. There was one particular, I think, in the second half, Teller whips the ball right across, misses the centre-back, and I think Armstrong makes a real hash of it. He kind of scuffs the first effort, which is going wide. It deflects back to him, and then he obviously hits Alisson. But yeah, he could have got himself a goal, and I'm expecting a better performance from us in midweek. Obviously at home under the lights against Leicester. We all know how that went quite a while ago. But yeah, back to hopefully amend things. And given the performances going forward and how leaky Leicester have been at the back, hopefully we can take advantage because we need to write this game off quickly.
I hope so. Leicester will be an easier game than Liverpool, but it's still going to be tough. Jamie Vardy, as we're coming on to later, will be dangerous. Well, he may not even actually start because Brendan Rodgers is saying something about like in midweek games, we might not be able to play him because he might not have the energy at the weekend. So
yeah,
be interesting to see what happens with the team on that one.
Yeah, I'd be very happy not to see Vardy start.
Even so, I think Darko would just score against us.
Yeah, oh yeah, that man's got pace. But yeah, obviously, man of the moment for Liverpool, Diogo Jota, obviously bagged himself a brace there. Could have easily had a hat-trick. Are you on him?
No, but you are. And that, I'm sure that sweetened the blow a little bit.
Yeah, it was, honestly. Obviously, the fact Salah wasn't scoring, you know, was a little disappointing given we had the captaincy on him. But yeah, to see Jota get the two goals there, it was 14 points, I think, in the end. Yeah, it kind disgusting. Of softened the blow a little bit.
It fucking made it just 10 times worse for
God,
me.
Yeah. Right, let's jump on to a game that deserved to be, obviously, last on Match of the Day, and it wasn't a particular thriller. I think Saar made a couple of saves towards the end, but it was Norwich 0, Wolves 0.
Yeah, I completely legally streamed the second half of this game, and I wish I hadn't bothered, to be honest. I was hoping for a Hwang return, and if anything, Norwich were the better team. Pukki had a few chances.
Should have scored.
Yeah, Norwich were the better team, if anything. And yeah, Wolves were very disappointing, but I think credit to Dean Smith's team. They have obviously been very good since he came in. They've got a couple of wins, got nearly as many points as, probably more points than Farke got in God knows how many games.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're playing well. and Norwich isn't as easy a fixture as it was, as we were saying last week.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah, like you said, you brought in Hwang, I brought in Jimenez, both expecting returns, both got blanks. It's unfortunate, but I think man of the match in this game was Billy Gilmour. Sorry to keep banging on about these Scotsmen, Jane, but...
bloody love Billy Gilmour.
Yeah, honestly, they're stepping up and they've got to, because given the draw for the World Cup next year. But yeah, obviously Dean Smith's brought Gilmour back in. Played well, arguably, in the last game. And then this game performed, yeah, brilliantly. Got himself man of the match and probably, yeah, could have easily got an assist or two had Pukki taken his chances.
Yeah, exactly. I think that boxes off that game, in my opinion.
I think it does, yeah. So let's move on from one 0-0 to another. It was Brighton 0, Leeds 0.
Now, this was the game we were watching at the meetup. And to be fair, it was kind of end-to-end. It was quite a sort of fast-paced game. No end product, really.
Yeah, that's the problem. Obviously, Leeds, they weren't particularly thrilling going forward. I think they came into it in the second half. But Neil Mope, oh my, two absolute howlers that he missed. Obviously, one completely skied it and the other one comes across and he scuffs it. And I can see why, Brighton fans were frustrated. But what's your opinion on the booing at the end of the game?
Yeah, don't really agree with that. No. I think they've got a good manager and a good team, and a draw isn't the end of the world.
No,
put it that way.
Brighton are overperforming, in my opinion. Given the squad that they've got, yeah, they're defensively quite solid. And yes, they've had, I think, the most draws out of any club since they got promoted. But Potter is a very good manager. And honestly, I think without him, that they'd struggle, because he knows how to set this team up. And if they can get a forward that's fit and firing, or even just give Neil Mope some confidence, because man, that poor lad looks shot of it. And obviously he's been out of the team for what, 4 or 5 games, I think. So he's thrown straight back into the starting lineup, and you could tell. But yeah, I completely disagree with Brighton fans booing a 0-0 draw against Leeds, because Leeds are a tough team.
Yes, madness. And I'd like to mention also, Rafinha's delivery was pretty poor in this game.
Yeah, it wasn't
great.
There were
like quite a lot of balls that he was just wayward, finding no one. I guess doesn't help, obviously, not having a kind of a Bamford up there, but still, it was unusually sort of poor from him.
Yeah, agreed. And we could well see Bamford and Ayling maybe back for the weekend, because I know, I think Mayor Bielsa said in his press conference today that both Bamford and Ayling will play in the under-23s game tonight. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye on minutes there, because say they only play 30 minutes and then they're taken off, that might be because they could feature. So it's worth, you know, keeping an eye, particularly if you're looking that way. But for someone like Bamford, I think I'd hold on for a little period, particularly given Leeds' horrendous run after the Brentford game.
Definitely.
Right, let's jump onto the Sunday games then, mate. And fair to say, I think we probably expected this result given the away team's form. It was Brentford 1, Everton 0.
Yeah, great result for you and anyone that owns Tony. Getting 9 points out of this game.
Took his pen well.
Yeah, imagine, very unexpected. You obviously get the goal and then the free bonus. So for 6.7 million, that's what you want, really.
Yeah. And Brentford's fixtures, they're not too bad, to be fair, up until the new year. I think obviously it's Tottenham, Leeds, Watford. Yeah, you've got United in there, but then it's Southampton and Brighton before it really turns. So given, 6.7 million, I think I'm probably going to end up holding Ivan Toney through this period, because I think he's assured starts where there are obviously risks to other forwards. Wilson, for instance, on 4 yellows could be another option, but I'm reluctant to go there. So yeah, I think I'm going to probably stick with Ivan Toney.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
And obviously, on the other side, the blue side, I think Everton are a team in free fall at the moment, and they really need some of their key players back.
Yeah, their fans were not happy at all at the end of the game. I don't know if you've seen the clip of them just swearing at the players, basically.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
Yeah, they need Calvert-Lewin. They miss him dearly. And they're just, not playing well at all.
No, and I think Planet FPL, credit to James and Sudge for doing the pod, but they did one on Everton and their finances, and it's a really bad situation. It doesn't look like they can spend at all in January. That they're obviously quite a bit in debt, and I think out of the 20 Premier League teams, I'm sure they have the smallest budget for players. So it doesn't look good for them for the foreseeable.
Yep. We're not going there.
No, not at all. Let's talk about Jamie Vardy then, mate. I know that you own him, so it was Leicester 4, Watford 2.
Love this. Obviously, this is what I was scared of. I contemplated getting rid of him, but this is exactly what the sort of thing that would have happened if I did. And
Absolutely.
I'm so glad I held on to him because now it feels all worthwhile. That sort of period of blanks.
Yeah.
But now he's got a brace and he's got a good few set of fixtures ahead of him. Even if he doesn't even start in tomorrow or Wednesday or even Thursday, whichever day it is. I'd
Wednesday.
expect him to have a chance off the bench. Very capable player, and he put two away, so I'm very happy with that.
He did,
But
yeah.
I did find it hard to watch the sort of second half of this game due to the amount of snow
Oh, I
on
know.
the pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say snow became a big factor across these Sunday fixtures, and we'll come on to a game that isn't now showing on the FPL website, but we'll mention it at the end there. But yeah, obviously this game, yeah, started off green pitch, ended up with a white pitch, and I think the conditions really told in the second half. But you mentioned Jamie Vardy, however, I think the player worth shouting out is James Maddison, because I think he had another brilliant game, two assists, got himself a goal, a 16-pointer. And on Match of the Day, he really spoke about kind of trying to up his game, get into better positions, score more goals, create more assists, and was almost talking tactically. And I think he's really aware of his own stats, which is great for a player because he almost knows that he has to improve. And we've spoken about Maddison in the past. Like, I think he could have gone on to better things earlier. And last season, for instance, I jumped on him a couple of times and he f really failed to kind of perform. But if he could show this sort of consistency, he could even get an England call up. But he really has to be consistent because it's all well and good performing like this against Watford, but he could very well go on for the next three or four games and not really have an impact. And that has to change if England selection is to be back on the cards for Maddison.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Right then, let's jump on to a game in which really pissed me off. It was Man City 2, West Ham 1.
Yeah, they obviously the clean sheet wipeout right at the
Yeah.
very end to sting both of
94th
us.
fucking minute.
Yeah, so much so like I think I checked the score at, like just before this goal, and I was like, oh, okay, brilliant, I've got the clean sheet, and then looked
Likewise.
at it about 20 minutes later and was like, what?
Yeah, I was out and about
Oh
bit of
dear.
Christmas shopping with the fiance, you know, and I was checking the scores in Waterstones of all places, and saw that Man City were winning 2-0, and I thought, oh, game over. And then you text me to say, fuck, clean sheet, when I was like, are you joking?
Yeah, I'm just glad it wasn't Antonio because that
Yeah,
would have really
I would have been a
stung.
yeah. I think that's probably worth mentioning. There is Antonio's kind of out of form at the moment, aren't they? And West Ham in general haven't looked as up for it in recent games. Obviously, they're not picking up the points we're expecting them to at the moment. And I think the next four games look tricky on paper. Obviously, Brighton at home. Brighton are very good defensively. They then play Chelsea. I think that's going to be incredibly tough at the weekend. Burnley away is never easy. And then Arsenal away before their fixtures, you know, turn for the better again. And I think they might need that kick up the arse come Christmas because it's Norwich, Southampton, Watford, Palace in a run of four. I will probably be looking to get Antonio or even maybe a stab in the dark, Jared Bowen, back for those games. But yeah, I want to see something more from West Ham before I do jump on them, because there's something not quite ticking at the moment. And whether it's a little bit of burnout with the Europa League schedule and whatnot, and the performances they've been put on out late, but yeah, I think it's definitely worth keeping an eye on with West Ham. There's something not quite ticking, in my opinion.
No, agreed. I think a lot of people will have hopped off ahead of this fixture against City, but if you're
Yeah.
still on him, then I mean there are fixtures there where they could return Burnley, Brighton. So yeah, I guess see how it goes.
Yeah, the rotation's worth keeping an eye on. I think Bowen
Yeah.
was rested for this game, and we could well see Antonio rested midweek. Who knows? Right then, the final game that was played in the Premier League weekend was a bit of a shock result. It was Chelsea 1, Man United 1.
Yeah, obviously Sancho scoring due to obviously an error by Jorginho.
Terrible error.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. I don't know what he was doing.
No.
And then Sancho very, very good finish. I thought he was going to pass, square it, but just sort of did the keeper with the eyes and slotted it home, and hopefully that would give him a little bit of confidence.
You'd hope so. Given
ballsy decision as well from Carrick to bench Ronaldo.
Yeah, and he didn't look very impressed when he walked off the pitch again, did he? Kind of throwing his toys out the pram. I don't think he even shook hands with any of the Chelsea players. He just walked straight off. Miserable fuck. Yeah, obviously Jorginho then stepped up, took the pen that Thiago Silva won after a pretty clumsy challenge, to be honest. Made it 1-1. But I think in the first half, Chelsea were dominant. David De Gea made a string of brilliant saves. And then they kind of took the foot off the gas, and Man United kind of grew into the game, which shows maybe that they just weren't putting the performances in for Ollie. And obviously, we've had the news that they've got a new interim manager coming in, don't they?
Yep, they've called this guy called Nick. and he's come.
Love it.
Terrible joke.
Very terrible, but...
Yeah, Rangnick is his name, and I had no idea who he was until they started speaking about it in the media. I'm not going to claim I did.
No, I'm not going to be one of these people on Twitter that have been putting threads out as if they've written books about the guy. I mean, I know that he's a very good footballing man, and managers within the Premier League speak very highly of him. I think Klopp came out and said, you know, it's bad for the clubs because there's another good manager coming in. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend I know much about him.
No, and Rudiger had a fucking amazing shot for Chelsea in this game.
Yeah.
Like, it hit like a striker. That was a beautiful curl, and unlucky for it to not go in.
Yeah, didn't it to clip the top of the crossbar?
Clip the bar, and I think De Gea may have got a touch.
Yeah, I think he did. And obviously Lukaku was on the bench, came onto the pitch off the bench. Werner didn't look particularly impressive. It'll be interesting to see if Lukaku starts a midweek against Watford, or whether they'll be a little bit tentative with him and then hold him back a little bit until, say, West Ham at the weekend, which is obviously on paper a far tougher game.
Yeah, well, he could do some damage against Watford if he starts.
He could, yeah.
And that'd be the move to bring him in if you're going to be ballsy, because
big
that'd be ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah. And the other player I think a lot of people have been jumping on, obviously following Ben Chilwell's injury, is Marcus Alonso.
Yeah, didn't really deliver in this game.
Chelsea didn't in general, but big announcement, James. I've brought Alonso in.
You have?
Yeah, we'll come on to it in a bit. But yeah,
Who for?
We'll discuss that shortly.
Ooh.
Right, and obviously the game that we're missing was the Spurs game. Unfortunately, called off about an hour before the game as the snow really kind of pelted down in Burnley. And shout out to obviously James Planet FPL. Got a feel for the guy. I mean, obviously came all the way up, had the meet up with you guys, and then got the train to Burnley just for it to be called off to make the really long journey home. But fair play to him. You know, he wasn't moaning about it at all on Twitter. I think he was pleased that he got to meet up with you guys, have a really good night, and at least, you know, it's worth it in that sense.
Yeah, they were a good time. I do feel for him. I think he also has Son and Kane in his team, which obviously doesn't help things. No. But yeah, these things happen.
You can't
predict the weather.
No, exactly. And it does mean at some point, I think there was talk about game week 21 as a possibility, Spurs will have a double game week. So,
yeah, that'd be tasty.
Right, let's move on to how we did then this week, mate.
Yep, so 55 points for me, which I've got a small green arrow of like 50k to... Nice. 594k. It's my seventh green arrow in a row.
Good
so
man.
If I can just keep that going, who knows where I'll be.
Doing well.
Yeah, very happy with that. Captain Salah, the Arsenal defenders, White, and then obviously Ramsdale, Vardy was the main sort of highlight of the week. Cristiano Ronaldo coming on and then getting booked was the low light for me.
Yeah, I bet it was. For me, highlights were obviously Trent, Jota, Salah, you know, the Liverpool triple up, really bringing home the bacon against Saints, which was kind of expected. Obviously, Ramsdale and Goal did well, and Ivan Toney in once again effectively playing with 10 men because Kane obviously came off and Livramento came on with his massive 0 points. So that was nice.
Yeah, up to 11k now, though, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Well, it's just tipped. So I've just tipped into 12k. 12,079th after people's kind of automated transfers came in, but that's the highest rank I've ever had.
Oh yeah, easily by miles.
Yeah, I've never been this high. I just, like I keep saying on Twitter, I'm just waiting to fuck it up, but we'll see. So
Nosebleed.
Yeah, 100% nosebleed territory. So we might as well quickly touch on it then, seeing as there's a really quick turnaround. But do you have any transfers in mind? No, not at all.
Well, there's things I could do, but I don't know. But yeah, what have you done?
So I had two free transfers. I kind of rolled one from last week, and obviously I made Jimenez, so I didn't want to burn one. So what I've decided, I had plenty of money in the bank. I've moved on Ben White for now and brought in Marcus Alonso. So I've got a back four of Trent, Cancelo, James and Alonso. With obviously Jota, Salah, Rafinha in midfield, then Jimenez, Kane and Tony up top. And it just means Livramento is going to sit on the bench a little bit. I'm going to hold out for these next few games, and I've kept the money in the bank to go Jimenez to Antonio as and when I want to. And then it means I can probably downgrade Alonso back to, say, a Ben White price and use the funds elsewhere. But I just, defence seems to be the best form of attack at the moment. And I really like filling my squad with wingbacks, which has really paid off recently. So I thought it Alonso's price and given Chilwell's injury, I think it's worth the gamble. So yeah, I've brought him in.
Is it just the one transfer you've made?
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be it for now.
No, that's a very good move to make.
Fingers crossed. Right then. So guys, as you know, we've been sponsored throughout November, and this will be our last sponsored FPL pod. So we just want to thank Manscaped for being sponsors for the month. So this episode has been brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped have just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. So you guys can join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you guys. You can get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TSK20 at manscaped.com.
Yep, imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality. And it's the fourth generation trimmer. It has a ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. So it's time to get your own ball and hair body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Your balls will thank you.
You're going to miss saying that, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
So you guys can get 20% off and free shipping with the code TSK20 at manscaped.com. Yeah, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com just using the code TSK20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So yeah, once again, thank you, Manscaped. Really appreciate the sponsorship this month. And yeah, we hope we've done you guys justice. So I think that calls the pod to an end there, James. Very quick turnaround. Get your teams locked in tomorrow night, guys. Obviously, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday fixtures this week. And good luck. You know, it's going to be a tough festive period, but as long as you've got a bit of a bench, I think we should be okay.
I hope so.
So, mate, on that note, it is a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.